Okay, Rabosai, we're discussing a number of things. We're talking about Bishul in a Klisheni. And the conversation of Bishul in a Klisheni, of course, involves that there are three exceptions to the din of Klisheni Einu Mispashel, right? We have the exception of Mechzikim Vashel that we focused on yesterday. We have an exception called Kalei HaBishul that we'll talk about now. And there's also an exception of Yad Nechves Bo, which we began discussing briefly, but we'll return to it. Part of the conversation of Kalei HaBishul is its evil kid brother, or its nice kid brother, called Chomrei HaBishul. So we're in the middle of a number of these conversations, but we will do the best we can. So Mishnah tells us that kosher baba chamin lifnei haShabbos, so shayri noisai bechamin b'Shabbos, kosher lo ba bechamin lifnei haShabbos, madichin also bechamin b'Shabbos, chutz mi dag ha'ispinin. Right, the exceptions are if you have kol ha'ispinin, which is, I think Rashi says tunina, which we assume is tuna and salty fish. These things in Shas are called Kalei HaBishul, and because they're called Kalei HaBishul, it's usur even in a klisheni. Right? That's the basic halacha in the Mishnah. Now, how broadly do I take this category of Kalei HaBishul, or do I not take the category of Kalei HaBishul? That's the real question. Meaning, the Mishnah tells me that there are two examples of Kalei HaBishul, Dag Maliach and Kol Yaseh Ispinin. In the Rishonim, at least according to one Girsa in the Yoreim, Lechem is also an example of Kalei HaBishul and should not be placed in a Klisheni, again, according to one version of the Yoreim. The Chazon Ish and many Acharonim point out that there's a Beferish in Gemara that eggs are Kalei HaBishul as well. Beferish in the Gemara, hard to argue. But what about other stuff? There are things on this planet which are not tuna, nor eggs, nor are they bread. So what's the halacha about these things? So on a practical halacha level, the Mishnah Brura in Se'if Katan Mem Beis, the Mishnah Brura says, Hu hadin kol davar is possibly Kalei HaBishul. And the Mishnah Berurah says, don't put anything into a klisheni, unless we know for sure it is one of these things that are called Chomrei HaBishul, which is not going to be mispashel in a klisheni. That's the shita of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish and Simin Nun Beis, Os Yud Ches and Yud Tes, the Chazon Ish has a more limited understanding of Kalei HaBishul. The Chazon Ish says that Kalei HaBishul are only those things which are beferish in Shas. Only these things that the Gemara says explicitly are Kalei HaBishul, only those are called Kalei HaBishul. And the Ikar proof that the Chazon Ish has, Kaufman likes this stuff, is from Hilchos Basar B'Cholav. You see, in Hilchos Basar B'Cholav, we assume that cooking meat and milk is a problem only in the Kli Rishon, not in the Kli Sheni. If you're really nervous about Kalei HaBishul, and you assume that you have an expansive category of Kalei HaBishul, so l'cha'eira, we should ask Basar B'cholav even in the Kli Sheni, because perhaps it's Kalei HaBishul. Zok d'Chazon Ish, funda zetmin, that means we see from here that the category of Kalei HaBishul is limited to these things which are beferish and shas. That's what the Chazon Ish says.
How does he know it's not in Basar B'Cholav?
So how does the Chazon Ish know that it's not a din only by Basar B'Cholav? Or how does he know that there's no, you're asking, how do you know that there's no
There's no
Bishul? But because in Shulchan Aruch we paskin, Simin Kuf Hei, that there's only Bishul Basar B'Cholav in the Kli Rishon. There's no Bishul Basar B'Cholav in the Kli Sheni. Right, this is why we're makel on the veal, or I don't know, I wrote an article years ago to try to asser veal, because the veal calves are fed basar b'cholov. So it's behemoshin is patma. So the OU lemaisa is mekol on veal, because they say that in the farms they feed the veal calves the formula that was warmed in a kli sheni, not in a kli rishon. That is the kula for veal. Well, maybe it's kalei habishul, especially because it is granular, it's ground down, right? And we said already from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that our tavlin bisman hazeh is potentially is kalei habishul because it's very fine, right? So the veal feed should certainly be a problem in the kli sheni. The Chazanish says, you know what? You see from these dinim, the kalei habishul is ma'od mitzumtzam, and it's limited to these cases that are found in Shas, Dag Meliach, Kol Yaseh Ispinin. It's found in the Yireim, the din of Lechem, and the Beitza. That's the only things which are kalei habishul. Of course, yesh makom to argue with the Chazanish and say, Meheicha Tesi, I should apply the same rules of Bishul that I have by Basar B'cholav to the rules of Bishul anywhere else in Judaism. Meheicha Tesi, they're governed by the same rules. We discussed this on a number of occasions, that one can maintain that the categories of Bishul, it's the same word, but it means different things in different places, and that is certainly a reasonable approach, but ad kan. So there's a machlokes in Achrayim about kalei habishul, whether it's a broad category or a narrow category. This machlokes is actually a machlokes in Rishonim as well. If you read the Sefer Yireim, I believe it's in Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Beis in the standard editions of the Yireim. The Sefer Yireim writes, "Ein anu bekiyim." We don't know what's kalei habishul and what's not. The Sefer Yireim tainas that it's clear from the Gemara that the rules of Bishul are not formal. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi. Certain stuff, cooking, only a Kli Rishon. Other stuff, even cooking a Kli Sheni. Other stuff, well, even cooking a Kli Shlishi. That's a Chiddush of the Reim. And the Reim says, Mikevon She'en Ono Bikiyin, you should be Machmir on everything. That's what the Sefer Yireim writes. Rav Rimon points out that Le'umat Sefer HaYireim, the Ran on Daf Chof, the Dape Harif, the Ran also uses Ein Anu Bekiyim, but the Ran uses Ein Anu Bekiyim in the opposite way. The Ran says that, you know what, the Gemara says that certain things only cook in Kli Rishon al Gabe Ha'esh. Other stuff cooks in Kli Rishon Shelo al Gabe Ha'esh. We're not exactly sure. Therefore, we'll say that everything cooks in the Kli Rishon. Right? This is a Meirid Dika Machlaikas. The Ran is saying, because Ein Anu Bekiyim, so therefore on the fundamental level, right, we also dealt with this Ran where he quoted the Yerushalmi that only Dovr She'ar Holech Tachdov is considered Bishul. But the Ran, is saying that on a fundamental level, even in a Kli Rishon, I'm machmir because of an Ein Anu Bekiyim. So I'm not going to take my chumra of Ein Anu Bekiyim ad kutzo ha'acharon. Right? So this is a huge machlokes harishonim, which seems to parallel, to some extent, the machlokes between the, it seems to parallel the machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazanish. Mr. Blau, you raised your hand. It looks yellow. Beautiful hand.
Thank you. If the Ran is already saying Ein Anu Bekiyim, why, what excuse does he have for not extending that to the fact that we have a clear list of kalei habishul for Kli Sheni?
I think the Ran is going to say Ein Hanami, but that list is limited to only those things, right? We don't know about other stuff, right? We have certain things that I know cook in the Kli Sheni. I have certain stuff that I'm not sure about. So I'm going to be machmir that I'm not sure that it cooks in the Kli Rishon. I'll be machmir in the Kli Rishon. I'm not going to be machmir on the other stuff in the Kli Sheni. That's gufo what the Ran is saying. I limit the category very significantly. But the Yireim is using Ein Anu Bekiyim in a super chumra way. Now, This is my theory. If there's anyone here who wants to write a doctorate in the history of halacha, this is a topic I am offering to you to work on. The Yireyim uses Ein Anu Bekiyim more than anyone else. In Rishonim, most Rishonim do not use Ein Anu Bekiyim to the same extent that the Yireyim does. Meaning to say, in Hilchos Nida, there's a shiur that a kesem is usher and it has to be shiur kigris. Right? A stain is only usher if it's the size of a bean. Zakta Sefer Yireyim, we're not really sure what a bean is, how big that bean is. Therefore, you should be machmir on everything until Yadche Yetzei HaSafek Milibo. Right, so the Yireyim has a super duper chumrah, right? A super chumrah in Hilchos Nida based on Ein Anu Bekiyim. The Yireyim writes that tochein, by vegetables, I'm not allowed to, the Gemara tells me, Haiman de Purim Soka is in violation of tochein. If you take a vegetable and you cut it up very finely, you're in violation of tochein. Zot the Yireyim, Ein Anu Bekiyim, what is considered very fine in cutting up vegetables, so don't cut vegetables, effectively. The Yireyim's Ein Anu Bekiyim is much broader. He uses it much more often than the others. I just tried briefly to do a Bar Ilan search. I didn't end up with very much. But it's, again, I think the Yireyim uses Ein Anu Bekiyim much more than others. Dr. Soloveitchik in his classes used to say that some assume that the Yireyim is like the prototype of Hasidei Ashkenaz. There is this group of Hasidei Ashkenaz who basically were machmer in everything in Judaism. And perhaps the Yireyim is the earliest, or he's not really Hasidei Ashkenaz, but Hasidei Ashkenaz perhaps are drawing upon Yesodos in the Sefer Yireyim. And if that's the case, I think we have some evidence to that Yesod. So basically, we have a machlekes as to whether Kali Habishal is a narrow category or is it a broad category. Le'umat Kali Habishal, there are certain things which are called Chaimre Habishal, and certainly, even in Mishnah Brura world, that were machmir and everything in Klisheni, but everything doesn't mean everything. Everything means everything besides Mayim, Shemen, Tavlin. That's everything. Now, the Nafgamina within Mishnah Brura world between what's Kali Habishal and what's Chomrei Habishal is obviously in the Klisheni, Chomrei Habishal is not Mispashel. The Raya is Shemen, Mayim, you're allowed to put in the Klisheni, right? The Gemara says Beferish about Shemen, told the Klisheni Vatain, about Mayim, it's Beferish in Mishnah, about Tavlin, it's a Beferish in Mishnah. These things are Mutter in a Klisheni. But in a Kli Shlishi, the Mishnah Brurus in the Bir Halachan Se'if Yud, in a Kli Shlishi, which the Mishnah Brura is also Machmir on, or in a Kli Sheni, where, or in a Kli Sheni, the Inyan Bidi Eved, so there is a difference between stuff that is Vadei Kalei Habishal and stuff that is not Vadei Kalei Habishal. Right? The Chazanish is Kalei Habishal, Dagmali, Afkoy Yosef Ispinin, Beitza, and, Dagmalia, Kalaya Koyasa Ispinin, Beitza, and what's the fourth thing
Lechem.
That is? And what?
Lechem.
And Lechem, thank you. So those four things are going to be usher, even Bidi Eved, in a Kli Sheni. That's what would seem to emerge according to the Mishnah Brura. This is what he writes in the Bir Halacha Se'if Yod. That those things will be usher even b'di eved, right? Because dag maliyah koyasa ispinin and beitza, those things are beferish and shas, that it is a problem of Kali Habishal, and therefore even Bidiyavid is going to be Aser. Beit Salacha Aira should not be Aser in the Klisheni, even Bidiyavid. I don't mean Beits, I mean Lechem. Lechem should not be Aser, even Bidiyavid, because Lechem, you always have the Ravya to rely on, that there is no Bishal Acharfiyah. But when it comes to Dag Maliach, Koyas Ispinin, and Beitza, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention Beitza, but since the Chazanish says it's a Beferish and Gemara, which seems correct, so therefore we should be machmir even Bidi Eved in a Kli Sheni. Now the Mishnah Berurah defends his approach of expanding Kali Habishal. He says that there's a Rambam who agrees with him. If you look in the Bir Halacha and Seif Dalet, the Ibrahim Askel Koyas, the Bir Halacha says that in the Rambam, when he talks about Kali Habishal, he writes, Koyas Ispinin and Dag Maliach, V'hu Hadin Kosha Ki Yotzi Bozeh. Lav Davka Elu, Hu Hadin Ko Ki Yotzi Bozeh, Dover Dach, V'rach B'yoyser, and he quotes a Rambam Perek Tes. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is using that Rambam to what? To say that everything is Kali Habishal. But L'cha'ira, the Rambam might not mean that. The Rambam might mean, Hu Hadin, anything that I know for sure cooks easily. Right? So, it's not exactly clear what to do with this. Right, what we have is a machlekes min akotze al akotze. You might call it Ran, Yireyim, Mishnah Berurah Chazanish. But l'cha'ira, there is a large svara to say that there is tremendous room for disagreement, or to say that there is, I should say, to say there's tremendous room for distinction. That maybe there are certain items that, because they cook so easily, are a problem in a Kli Sheni. But other items that hachush nosin, a piece of meat, right? You just look at it, it's not going to cook in the Kli Sheni. Eggs cook very easy. You pour hot water on eggs, you see that it gets cooked, no? So sir, maybe I should just use my eyes and figure it out. Of course, this is a little bit of a dangerous approach, because mehechatesi, we know what Bishul means. Is Bishul a Metzias property, or is it like a halachic property? This approach is saying some approach that it's based on Metzias, but nonetheless, I think min hasavara, it would make sense. Yes? It's like, can I ask you to speak louder? My hearing is not good. Yes. Unless the Rambam is only saying Hu Hadin Ki Yotze Boy, and that refers to Beitza. I think that's why the Chazanish understands it. The Mishnah says Beferish Dag Maliach Koyas Ispinin, and Hu Hadin Ki Yotze Bozeh, which means the thing that's Beferish and Chas, which means Beitza, and Lechem. Because that's why the Chazanish takes the Rambam, right? Yes. When I talk about Chomrei Habishal, stuff that definitely does not cook in a Kli Sheni, so we have Mayim, we have Shemen, we have Tavon. What about Sha'ar Mashkim? Do I assume that milk is going to be like Mayim? And milk also definitely does not cook in a Kli Sheni. But very no gay alamaisa, no? Can you put milk in your coffee? Can you put very no gay alamaisa? So this issue seems to be a machlekes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Alter Rebbe. The Mishnah Berurah writes with respect to making tea. There's a very long Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Tes. Albert, this is for you, right? The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Tes has Arichos Devarim about making tea on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, well, you know what? The tea leaves really have Bishul on them. If I pour hot water on the tea leaves, it's going to mamish be a problem. The way to make tea, according to the Mishnah Berurah, is that you heat the tea leaves before Shabbos. You make what's called tea scents, and right, it's very condensed, concentrated tea. And then the Mishnah Berurah says what you should do is you should keep it warm. And then you take that tea scents and you put that tea scents, which was made in a kli rishon, and you pour it into a kli, and now it's going to be a kli sheni, but it was already a davar that was nispashel. You put the tea scents in the kli sheni, and then you add the water to it, and it's not going to be a problem. How come it's not a problem? Is that the Mishnah Berurah? So the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a problem because it is a davar lach shenispashel. And I'm not going to be machmir on bishul achar bishul by a davar lach in the kli sheni. You get an impression from the Mishnah Berurah that if I have unpasteurized milk, I should be machmir in the kli sheni. The Mishnah Berurah is only makel in the kli sheni on Mishnah Berurah is only makel in the kli sheni on what's it called? On a davar lach shenispashel. But any other liquid, the Mishnah Berurah would be machmir on in a kli sheni.
So why do you need to keep it warm?
Slowly?
Why do you have to keep it
warm? You have to keep it. It's better to keep it warm, to be chloshesh, that just in case it, right? Kosher when it's standing the gamre.
Oh,
right. No, just in case, we should keep it warm. It happens that the Mishnah Berurah, Mr. Blau, that's what you wanted to ask? It happens that the Mishnah Berurah also is machmir, that you should first add the tea scents and then add the water, because he's chleshish for tzoveya ba'ochlan. Even though 99% of Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch paskin ein tzoveya ba'ochlan, but the Sefer Yireyim says Yesh Tzoveya Ba'ichon. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shar HaTzion there in Sifkatin Lamentes, Mishnah Berurah writes that you should do the liquid first because that's not Tzoveya. Again, this requires a certain Hesper. Why is it not Tzoveya? Apparently it's not Tzoveya because you're diluting the color rather than making the color stronger. You have a very strong amber tea color. It gets less color. That's not Tzoveya. But if I have white, clear water and I add tea to it, that would be Tzoveya. So because Hamasa, the Mishnah Berurah has this whole complicated cheshbon and sifkat and lamites about the proper way to make tea on Shabbos. He argues that the tea is not cooked beforehand, and therefore, there's going to be a real din of bishul on the tea leaves, and therefore, he has this whole cheshbin about making the tea essence, etc. Now, a few ha'aros. One ha'ara is that the way they really make tea is they have tea leaves, which are these very big things. They float them down a river to have them open up. Then they roast them on an open fire to dry them. Then they grind it up and they end up having stuff in your tea bag. So yesh la'ayin, maybe our tea leaves were already cooked, or at least nitzla, and then maybe I have another tzad lahakel of bishul achar tzli. But Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva, though, that what happens to the tea is a process called yibush, not tzli. This is very relevant for many powders. Coffee comes in two forms. Well, you have instant coffee, which often is actually cooked beforehand. And there's other coffee that just went through a process of yibush, not through a process of actual bishul. There are different types of coffee. If you look in the Orchos Shabbos, he gives you a list of the Israeli brands of which are which. If I hold that Yibush is not real Bishul, first of all of the powders, many powders, I should say, underwent a process of Yibush. Now, how do you make something into a powder? The Cha'ira, you have to dry it out beforehand and then grind it up, right? So if you hold that Yibush is not Bishul, which it seems to be that this whole conversation about making tea assumes, so therefore it is. Oh. So that's one issue. So Mishnah Brura has his complicated cheshbon about making tea. The Rav used to say that my grandfather Reb Chaim was Orthodox, which I think most assume. And my grandfather Reb Chaim used to take the tea bag and put it directly in the Kli Sheni. Because Reb Chaim assumed that tea is tavlin, and tavlin is not nispashel in a Kli Sheni. That's Beferish in the Mishnah. Now, that's already interesting. That's already interesting. To assume that the tea is tavlin is taking a stand on a question that we discussed yesterday or so. Taisvis, in his conversation about Mechzika Mavash on the Kli Sheni, Taisvis asked, if there's Mechzika Mavash on the Kli Sheni, how come Tavlin is permitted? So Zok Taisvis, because Tavlin is when the Tuke Kedera, which Bepashtus means that Tavlin is ancillary, it's secondary, it's not the Iker thing that you're being Mavash on. Im Kenim Hadavarim, so then we should Aser T in the Kli Sheni, because the tea is the ikker thing that I'm cooking. If I'm making meat and I have some cinnamon, ginger, whatever spices on the meat, that's not the ikker thing that I'm cooking. When I make tea, that's the ikker thing that I'm cooking. The argument of Lamituke Kedera is a hard argument. But Reb Chaim is a brisker. He's categorical. And he says, no, tavlin is tavlin. And therefore, it is not going to be nispashel in a Kli Sheni at all. T is tavlin. Ad kan divrei Reb Chaim. Yesterday we noted briefly that the Sefer Arzarua has a yesod, that the definition of tavlin is anything that would give off flavor while cold. Right? This tea, if I leave it to soak for a very long time, will give off its flavor. So therefore, tea should be tavlin, according to the Arzarua's definition. The Taz in Se'if Katan Yud Daled has an interesting yesod. The Taz says that maybe tavlin, Kaufman's going to like this also, maybe tavlin is a different term for a category in Yerideya called Dover Charef. Dover Charef, we know, cooks more easily than other stuff. The Shach writes in Yerideya that Dover Charef, like Chometz, is a Dover Charef. It's going to cook in a, will be nice in time in a Kli Sheni. The Taz writes that Betzalim, onions, are definitely going to be, 1 second. Kale Habishal, like, I'll say it like this. Kale Habishal, stuff that is going to be nispash on the Kli Sheni. Dover Chorif, Zok Netaz, and Sifkotin Yudalit is by definition Kale Habishal. Therefore, Betzolim is by definition Kale Habishal. That's the Taz. Comes along the Sefer Shvisas HaShabbos, and he says, based on this, you should not add lemon juice into your tea on Shabbos. If your tea is in the Kli Sheni, let's say, because let's say you're a Reb Chaim Yid and you just made tea in the Kli Sheni, but the lemon is a Dover Chorif, and the lemon juice in the Kli Sheni is going to be a problem. He said, when I was in Europe, the Jews weren't so frum, no one was machmir on this. I come to Yerushalayim, and people are machmir, I'm putting the lemon juice in the Kli Sheni. Meaning that Taz is coming, this is based on the yesod of the Taz, that anything which is a Dover Chorif, by definition, is going to be Kale Habishal. That's another yesod. Reb Shlomo Zalman, in a footnote, I think Kuf Ayin Dalet in the Shmir Shabbos, Reb Shlomo Zalman says that he thinks, I'm actually conflating different issues now, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm talking about what's the definition of the Tavla and what's the definition of Kalei HaBishul. I'm putting it together. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes that tavlin means food that is not metame tumas oichlim and is chayiv in trumas and maestras. Oichel is different than tavlin. The Mishnayis write that tavlin is not chayiv in trumas and maestras. And the Gemara Nida says that tavlin is not metame tumas oichlim. Now, once that's the definition, so I, mamish, do not know enough Torah to figure out whether tea is considered tavlin or not. Right, so again, so we have a few reasons over here to discuss the tea shaila. The Chafetz Chaim assumes that tea is kalei habishul because of his broadened definition of kalei habishul. The Chafetz Chaim's kalei habishul includes other liquids, unless the liquid is cooked once, and he assumes that tea is considered sha'ar mashkin. And therefore, the only heter for the tea is going to be, because by davar lachshe nisvashel, it's going to be mutter in the klisheni. If not, he would not consider tea like chaymrei habishol. Mayim is chayim rehabeshel, but sha'ar mashkim is not chayim rehabeshel. That's the Mishnah Berurah. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch Se'if Yud Gimel assumes that sha'ar mashkim is chayim rehabeshel. Many of the Svarim point out that the Mechaber seems to agree with the Alter Rebbe in Se'if Yud Gimel. Murtar litein mayim o sha'ar mashkim b'shkli sheni. Mayim o sha'ar mashkim. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to say that sha'ar mashkim means shemen. That's it. Right? It's already similar to the what? Al karchacha. That's what he has to say. That seems to be the approach. Rabbi Willig has a different approach. Rabbi Willig in his sefer argues that the mechaber says that mayim o sha'ar mashkim. That's because he tries to show that the mechaber has a limited definition of kalei habishul. Excuse me, the Mechaber, right, has a limited definition of Kalei HaBishul. Perhaps it's the Ramah who has an expanded definition of Kalei HaBishul. The whole Mishnah Berurah's Cheshbon is within the Ramah. This is a Rabbi Willig, Popol and Polskim. But Ad Kan, that did. So again, let's go back, because Albert wants to talk about tea. So the Mishnah Berurah has these chumras about making tea. Reb Chaim says tea is mamesh, mutter, even in the klisheni, it's considered tafan. We spoke about Reb Tzion Abba Shaul, that you can even make tea with irui mikli rishon, because the klipa of the tea bag is a non-food item, right? We discussed that. Those who assume that anything that's ground, by definition, can't be tafan, like Reb Shlomo Zalman, would have to say that tea is not tavlin, that the tavlin in Shas is thicker stuff. That's what some would assume. Rabbi Willig, in his English Sefer, I think page 63, 64, 65, seems to operate that the distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni in general is based on Derech Bishul. Right, which is what we quoted from Rav Soloveitchik as the Hesber and Taisvus. If that's the case, Rabbi Willig says, since on Shabbos, everybody makes tea by taking hot water from the urn, filling up a little teapot, right? You bring the teapot to the table, and then you pour, right, into a cup, and then you make tea. So who says that's mutter? Because the Derech Bishul of tea is in the Kli Shlishi, says Rabbi Willig. And therefore, it's going to be a problem. Right? Rabbi Willig feels that, again, there's no formal distinction between Rishon, Shein, and Shlishi. It all depends on what's Derech Bishul. T, the Derech Bishul is in the Kli Shlishi. Now, when I said the Shirim last time, I forget which one of the guys pointed this out. He said, Derech Bishul of T is not in the Kli Shlishi. Derech Bishul of T, the way Orthodox Jews do it, is in the Kli Shlishi to avoid Hilchos Shabbos issues. So you can say that if I'm doing something to avoid a Hilchah Shabbos issue, it becomes the Derech of Bishulti. Right? Mr. Blau, did I just confuse you? You seem to be a little perplexed. We're good. Okay? So that is a conversation about tea. Whether tea is considered tavlin or not, we could say, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, definitely not tavlin. If you hold the matuke kedeira is the definition of tavlin, like tayspis, so then tea l'chayra is not tavlin. If you hold like the orzerua, that whatever it gives off flavor in cold is considered tavlin, so tea is tavlin. If I hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman's definition of objective categories, ochel, metame tumas ochel, trumas and maestras, etc., so I have no idea what the din of tea would be. You have to learn a lot in Mishnayos. That seems to be my overview of the dinim of tea. So this was our conversation about Kale Habishal and Chomrei Habishal. Is there any reason to be matir tea only in a Kli Shlishi? Give me 5 minutes or and we'll talk about Kli Shlishi, just very briefly. Okay. So the Chaya Adam, if you remember, it seems so the distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni is based on temperature. That's the way I want to explain Rashi. The Chaya Adam proves this from a Rambam and Hilchos Maestros also. And therefore, the Chaya Adam comes up with the Chumra of Yad Nichves Boi. That anything that's Yad Nichves Boi is going to be a problem, even in a Kli Shlishi. The Mishnah Berurah of Katan Memches quotes this Chaya Adam. The Chazon Ish is also choshish for the Chaya Adam, meaning even though the Chazon Ish has a very narrow definition of what is called Kalei Habishal, only the things in Shas, Dag Maliyah, Koyas Ha'ispinin, etc., but the Chazon Ish says you should be choshish for the Chaya Adam, that it is Yad Nichves, and therefore don't put anything even in the Kli Shlishi, because I don't know what's Yad Nichves. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. Now, that's already interesting, because, well, Chari, what do you mean by what you don't know what Yad Nichves is? Yad Nichves is, doesn't leave a scar. That seems to be the pashtus. So, again, it's unethical to do a experiment and see what leaves a scar, what doesn't leave a scar. But I never understood the Chazon Ish's cheshbin of I don't know what is Yad Nichves. But the Chazon Ish's point that on the fundamental level, he doesn't know the difference between a Kli Sheni and a Kli Shlishi is a point that is worth keeping in mind. Chazon Ish says whatever is okay in a Kli Sheni should be okay in a Kli Shlishi. Whatever is forbidden in a Kli Sheni is forbidden in a Kli Shlishi. That's the Chazon Ish. Now, it's worth noting that the Chaya Adam's distinction, he says Yad Soiledes is one temperature, Yad Nichves is a higher temperature, seems to be contradicted by many things, including the way we have Shulchan Aruch. In Sif Yud Daled, right? Sif Yud Daled says something called Gezeres Hefsher. Don't put food in a place that it, or uncooked food in a place where it could become Yad Soiledes. Zuck the Yad Soiledes, Zuck something that appears in Ksav Rashi. Yad Soiledes, Perush, Mischamemes, V'Nichves. The definition of Yad Soiledes seems to be Nichves. Now, most assume that the things in parentheses in the Shulchan Aruch is the Ramah. That the things in parentheses in Ksav Rashi, most assume is the Rama. However, if you look in the new Friedman editions of the Shulchan Aruch, if you read the Hakdama to it, he points out that most of the parentheses were put in by a printer in the Shin Lamed Daled edition, which is the 1574 edition of the Shulchan Aruch. So it's not Rama. It is some Jew who printed Svarim. So the fact that they are defining Yad Soiledes as Yad Nichves, even though it seems to be a Raya Mechrachas against the Chazon, against the Chaya Adam, it's not so Mechrach because of what we just noted. However, the Beis Yosef in a few places, primarily in Hilchos Basar B'cholov and Kufhei, the Beis Yosef uses the terms Yad Soiledes and Yad Nichves interchangeably. So the argument of the Chaya Adam, these are two different categories, seems to be quite questionable. Now, when I talk about Kli Shlishi, what's the din of a Kli Shlishi? So we already noted that according to the Chazon Ish, there's no difference between Sheni and Shlishi. No such thing. If it cooks in the kli sheni, cooks in the kli shlishi. That's what the Chazanish says. The prima godim in Eishal Avram Sifkatan Lamed Hey, the prima godim points out that that's what the Bach says, that sheni and shlishi should be the same. However, the prima godim himself argues that kli shlishi is going to be mutter categorically. Then he has a raya from Hilchos Pesach Simen Tov Mem Zayin. And the Magen Avraham over there, Sifkat and Tes. In Hilchos Pesach, there's a famous case about Achita Shenimtseis Paterna Gailas. Right? You have a chicken, and you find some grains of wheat inside the chicken. So does this trafe everything up? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the Rambam writes that you should be machmir on the chita nimsis patar negoilos, even if you cook patar negoilos in the kli sheni, for hilchos pesach, we're super machmir, and even in the kli sheni, it's going to be a problem. Zakh Magen Avraham, yeah, kli sheni is a problem, but irim kli sheni or kli shlishi is not a problem. So it comes along the prima godim over here in Eishal Avraham Sifkatan Lamed Hey, and the prima godim says, ah, I see from that Magen Avraham in hilchos pesach that even if kli sheni is a problem, kli shlishi is not a problem. And therefore the prima godim says he thinks even the hilchos Shabbos in general, kli shlishi is not a problem. That all of the chumras that we have, kali, habishal, etc., only apply in kli sheni, but not in kli shlishi. That's the prima godim. Of course, it's debatable whether I can be mochiach anything from hilchos Pesach to hilchos Shabbos. Whether we're dealing with the same categories always or different categories, but the prima godimus raya from Hilchos Pesach is what leads from Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvas and Chelak Dalet Zimun Ayin Dalet, which are all the Tshuvas he wrote to Rabbi Eider. But Moshe Feinstein writes that Kli Shlishi categorically is not Mavashal. So the Minhag HaOlam to make tea in the Kli Shlishi, not in the Kli Sheni, is based on the assumption that kli shlishi is a category and nothing cooks in the kli shlishi, which is what Rav Moshe assumes and the prima godim assumes. Obviously, though, the Chazanish would say it's a problem, calls man that there's a chash of perhaps it's yad nechzeis. And obviously, Rabbi Willig feels that shlishi should be a problem because it's derech bishul, although that point, as we noted, I think is quite questionable. So these are some of the ha'aros regarding kli sheni and kli shlishi. I would say that minhag ha'olam is like that prima godim and like Rav Moshe, that kli shlishi is not mevashal anything. Gentlemen, questions, comments, observations? Okay, excellent, Trevor. Have a good day. Tomorrow I want to talk about hagasa, about stirring. And then next week, Bli Neder, I want to talk about Shehiya, Hachzara, and Hatzmana. And there will be a Bechina on Thursday of next week, right? A week from tomorrow, there will be a Bechina. Try to take the Bechina within 3 days. If I give the Bechina on Thursday, get it to me by Monday, right? Hachush, or I'll say like this, Hadas no senes, that people who delay taking bechinas do not end up doing it better than if they would not delay taking the bechina. And it's very likely if you delay taking a bechina that you will forget about the bechina. And if you forget about taking this bechina, you will at some point apply for your smicha klaf, and they will tell you that you can't get your smicha klaf because you are missing bishul b'shabbos. So then you're going to have to spend one full night pulling an all-nighter, which is much harder now than it was when you were 19 years old, pulling an all-nighter, trying to review all of the Din Hilchos Shas to take a Bechina. So Eitz HaTayva, I'll have the Bechina ready on Thursday, Mirat Hashem. Take it, get it to me by Monday, and that will make life grand and glorious. Okay, gentlemen, have a great day.
For Schwartz?
Yes.
I think on why you toured, not the last year, but the shir from two shirim ago.
Yeah.
There's an issue with the upload. It like, at least on my version.
Oh no. Okay. So I have to look into that. These issues become hard for me to find, but I will try to.
Yeah, it's the one from
The one from Tuesday?
Yeah, on the
late. From Monday. Right? Yeah, yesterday was Tuesday. The one from Monday.
Monday's here.
Okay, so I will try to fix that one. Okay.
Thank you.